As we report tonight, I want you to be encouraged on several aspects. You know, we were able to go encourage one of our church planters, one that we invest in monthly through our faith promise support. We send the Wilt family through our faith promise commitments, and we've been able to fulfill that commitment for the past 2 years and without missing one payment. And I don't take that for granted. I'm thankful that all of our missionaries are not missing any checks from Crooked Creek Baptist Church. Amen? And that's something we don't want to take for granted. We want to be humble before the Lord and just ask the Lord to continue to provide and help us to walk by faith and to trust Him. But I want to say, and I believe that the other members would agree with me, the Wilt family is doing a great work. They are sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they love the people of Staten Island. It is so obvious. Those people, you can tell the way they respond to David and Elizabeth. They just know that the Wilts love them and have come there to invest in their lives. And it's just marvelous to be side by side with our dear co-laborers there in Staten Island. And so you'll hear about some of those reports. Those of you that are not familiar with the Wilt family, they have been working in Staten Island for over 5 years. They've been in this, planting this. They planted Liberty View Baptist Church, David did, and after about 2.5 years, 3 years, they outgrew their storefront building and moved into a bigger storefront building. And that's where we were this week. And you'll see pictures of it. You'll see the inside. I would say the max capacity for the sanctuary. Now, they could easily put chairs in the foyer if they had an overflow service or whatnot. But, Ricky, how many would you say were just in that auditorium capacity-wise? Maybe 60? Maybe. So around 50 to 60, in the auditorium, and then they could put overflow seating, but it was filled up. Of course, our team was there, 27, but it was filled, on Sunday morning when we were there. And we had a great service, and it just started off with a great blessing. That morning, we went in, and we were ministering there, and I preached the morning service. And right to start off, a young man by the name of Antonio came forward for salvation and got saved. And he got it good, too, throughout the week. We talked and encouraged, and that was just something that we were able to, the fruit was just right there just to sort of just pull off. I mean, David and Elizabeth had been pouring their lives out into Antonio for months now, investing in him, encouraging him, and he had just come to that place where he was ready. And we saw other testimonies of salvation. Maybe some of the team members will share those with you. Some were able to lead them to the Lord. And one of the highlights that of my week was seeing Dave and Elizabeth's young son, their oldest son, Hezekiah, come to know Jesus Christ. So that was just phenomenal to see little Hezekiah. Hezekiah made a profession of faith when he was about, I think, around 6 years old. Maybe he was a little younger. But when he came forward to talk to Elizabeth, he was having some struggles, some behavioral issues. And so through a long process of talking with him, David ended up coming into the conversation, and they were counseling him. And Hezekiah just said, "You know, I just don't remember anything about it. I just don't know if I'm saved. I don't know what I did." And so, of course, after counseling with him, he made that decision to trust the Lord Jesus, and it was marvelous. I was there with him, heard him pray and cry out to God to save him, and he had assurance. And we saw an immediate difference, really. You can ask some of that. You know, Hezekiah already, he's rather rambunctious at times and has more energy than I could ever dream of, and he's all over the place. But it was neat to see God do that, and to see that their son saved in this week in that rally was just amazing. And for our team to be a part of that. But anyway, those are just a few little things that I wanted to share with you. We were there a total of 8 days. I believe it was that. We came in on a Friday, and we left out on a Saturday. And so it was full throttle from the beginning. And God bless, we had our fun day at the beginning there in Manhattan. David took us down. I don't know that I've walked so much in my entire life. But it was something else. And I want to tell you, folks, I was honestly thinking I was going to New York to cool off. It was hot. I mean, they had a crazy heat wave. It was in the upper 90s, heat index of 110. I mean, it was hot. And those folks do not know how to make air conditioners, okay? And up there up north, they don't need them that much, obviously, but nevertheless, it was hot, but it was okay. God helped us. We stayed hydrated for the most part. There was a couple that had to be reminded to drink water. I won't mention any names, but we stayed hydrated. We stayed encouraged, and God knitted our hearts together. It was amazing. We worked through adversity. We worked through struggles. We worked through the victories. We communicated. We forgave one another. Because I'm telling you, folks, it wasn't set up where everybody had their own little room. Okay. Everybody together had two rooms. Okay. And so we had all the girls in one room. They were in a church sanctuary that was being used for church service. But they just pushed the chairs aside. And then we were down in a basement. And we were in one big room with a couple rooms out to the side, but we were all right there together, and it was tight knit. I told one of the team members earlier, I said, look, I feel like I know these team members more than I ever thought I would. But it's been good. It's a positive. I say that in a positive light because I feel closer to the brothers and sisters I went with. I do. I truly feel a special bond there that God gave us as we were striving together, working together for the glory of Christ. And folks, I will say this, one of the challenges was, of course, you have that spiritual oppression when you go to a city like New York City where there's just not much light but lots of darkness. There's a lot of spiritual battle, so you have that aspect. But then when you do have that many people together and the confined spaces that we were, you have to be filled with God's Spirit all around the clock. You have to be forbearing one to another. And then the church, we're very grateful for the accommodations. We couldn't find it any cheaper anywhere else. But there was some challenging things about our accommodations. And again, this is not to critique Memorial Baptist. I am forever grateful for their hospitality and allowing us to stay in their building so that we could afford this trip and go and stay. But there were some challenging things about the accommodations. The showers were not in the best of conditions. There were only two for 27 of us. But they did work, and they did the job, okay? At least I didn't catch anybody smelling real bad throughout the week, so it worked well enough. And then just some other things, but nevertheless, the crew, the team just pulled through, and we did what we had to do. And I told someone earlier about this. If a missions trip does not stretch you, then it's not a good missions trip. Missions trips are designed to be stretching. As we walk by faith, we go and we struggle. We set aside our comforts for the sake of the gospel. And every team member that I can testify of did exactly that. And so I'm going to let them get up and testify a little bit. Brother Ricky, are we ready for the pictures whenever we're ready to show those? Okay. Well, why don't we do this? We could have some testimonies, and because we have a few pictures. How long is the presentation, Brother Ricky? About 10 minutes.
Probably not quite that long.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and show that, and then after the pictures. We'll have some testimony. So that way you can sort of get a context of where we were working, who we were working with. When the folks get up and testify, they may be able to reference one of the pictures as they come up. And so let's get that ready and ask the Lord to lead us. Why don't I have a word of prayer here and ask the Lord to bless the video and the testimonies. Let's pray. Lord God, we do pause for a moment here. To thank you for this trip. Thank you for each team member. And thank you for our wonderful crowd tonight. Lord, that speaks volumes. People that were excited and praying for this trip and supporting this trip. And I pray that they would be encouraged. I pray that they would see the fruit, Lord God, of their prayers, of their support, of their financial giving. And Lord, I do pray that most of all, Lord Jesus, you would be exalted in our midst. I pray you'd bless the testimonies. I know it's not always easy to stand before people, but Lord, I do pray that you would just give a sense of ease and peace for those that would like to share what you did in their hearts, some things you taught them, some things you showed them. Lord, bless in a mighty way. We are committing this service to you, and we thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Yep, that's all right. You got a good picture there of what we were doing. Those families there at the end that you saw were folks we ministered to there at the church. One of the families, the African American family that you saw, one of the girls, I believe, did make a decision to trust Christ as her Savior. The little boy, Onyx, he never made a decision. He raised his hand indicating each night that he wasn't sure, but we're praying for his salvation. And several others there that you'll hear about tonight through the testimonies. And, you know, we showed you a few pictures to give you an idea. They're at the church where we were ministering is where they had the rally each week. Mr. Thomas and Mr. Michael, who were our evangelists during our VBS, they were there at this church as well. And they did a wonderful job. And my respect went even higher for them and the work they're doing. But it was a joy to work alongside them. But at this time, why don't we go ahead and open it up for testimonies. And we'll allow the team to share just some personal things there, what God did. And so would anybody like to start us off? Ms. Andrea, start us off from the team there. And thank you so much.
I wanted to start because I wanted to give a disclaimer about the PowerPoint. Sorry. My fault. I took 4,400 pictures, y'all. So if you want to see them all, look on my Facebook. They're all there. But I was trying to choose the right ones, and I chose too many and started sending them to Ricky, and then he had problems with making all the PowerPoint, everything work. So sorry, that's all you got. But there's a whole lot more pictures than that. Okay, I just want to say that it was a very big honor and privilege to be able to go on this mission trip. I saw a big difference in attitudes from all of us from the first day to the last day. Was a big difference with everybody. We had a lot to deal with, as far as, like you said, there was two showers for 27 people. There was three toilets for 27 people. I'm sorry, but that's just not normal for us. So, but everybody was very cooperative, and of course, all of us could not take our shower in the morning or at night. So everybody was very gracious, and we split up, you know, some in the morning, some at night. And the ones at night, we had a line because there was more at night than in the morning. We had a line. Everybody just waited patiently on their turn. Nobody ever got ugly or started fussing, you're taking too long, or anything else. It was all great. The pastor put me in charge of like the meal preparation and stuff before we left. Everybody helped. Every single person on this team, all 27, helped from the time we left this church to the time we got back. They helped with loading luggage, unloading luggage, carrying luggage, and pushing those tubs through the airport, getting it on and off the conveyor belt thingy from the luggage pickup. Even Carly and Gabby and Noah, who were the youngest ones, they all pulled their load too. Everybody did a lot of stuff. They all came to me, adults and teens and kids, every single day. What can I do, Miss Andrea? What do I need to do, Miss Andrea? Is there anything else left to do, Miss Andrea? Everybody signed up on a sign-up sheet. Everybody helped prepare meals, clean up after meals, set up before meals. We all had to clean the church every day. We all kind of had to clean a little bit every day, like after ourselves. And then every single day we had to take down the tables and chairs so that the guys could sleep at night. They slept in the same room that we ate in. And then they had to set the tables and chairs back up every morning for Sunday morning after our full day of Saturday of sightseeing, which we were all tired. We walked like, what, 11, 12 miles that day, 13 miles? We walked a lot, y'all, that day. We were all tired. We were all sweaty, stinky. It was a long day. And we had to get up early Sunday morning and clean that church completely up and get all our stuff out of the way so they could have church service in the room that the girls were sleeping in, and so they could have lunch in the room that the guys were sleeping in. Then we had to set it all back up and then do it again Wednesday night, like pull everything from the room that the girls were sleeping in again. I'm not complaining at all in any way. I'm just telling y'all what all people did. They worked hard. Everybody on this team worked hard from the time we left here till the time we got back. And then we cleaned up Liberty Baptist Church every day too. We helped them clean up from like the night before Bible school. We had a meal. We had our supper there, so we had to clean up again after we ate supper. It's just everybody pitched in and just did a lot of stuff. And then attitude wise, the teens especially, I was with the teens all week, so I don't know what happened with the younger kids. The workers that were with them, I'm sure can tell you about them and the difference they saw. But in the teens, the attitude I saw the first night, there was some struggles. The first night, it was like Crooked Creek teens and their teens. Not because of ours, but because of theirs. Because they were like, you know, they were like, I don't know these people. I'm not having anything to do with these people. And we had some problems out of two girls that first night. They were being rowdy and talking and laughing and whatever during Michael's devotional, during his preaching time. And I even pulled them aside and asked them to try to be respectful and not do things like that, and they pretty much laughed in my face. But as the week went on, I saw it go from that to about Wednesday, Thursday night, it was like this. It was one big teen group. Because they had let their walls down, they were being more receptive to God's Word, to the Holy Spirit, to our teens, trying to befriend them and be nice to them. And it was like this by the end of the week. Some of those pictures you saw of the guys and girls, it was like this. I mean, they were all one big happy youth group by the end of the week. And then the two girls that were a problem that first night were totally different girls by that last night. In fact, one of them was saying, I wish our church could do this. I wish our church could go on a mission trip somewhere else and do something like this. So God just did a mighty work, a mighty, mighty work with everybody's hearts. And then there was this one little Italian boy. He was so sweet, and he could not speak any English. And so we were all kind of like playing charades with him to try to figure out, you know, try to get in. Brad found an app on the, or somebody did, found an app on the phone about, like, translation. So they were trying to translate. Anyway, but then we figured out, we all prayed about that after the first night, that he came, and then somehow we figured out that he speaks French. And guess who speaks French? So he went with us from then on with the teens, and he was able to talk to him and share the gospel with him in a language he could understand. And it was just great. He was the sweetest little boy, y'all. We didn't get any pictures of him up there, but I have some of him on Facebook. He is the sweetest little boy. If y'all could just pray for him. What, say his name correctly, because I can't never remember his name. Anas. If you pray for Anas to get saved. He did not seek salvation, but he has been presented. He knows. He's been told. He just did not accept. There's probably some more things. We want to thank whoever, somebody gave the whole team $5,000, and that really helped all of us financially. I want to thank you very, very much for that. I want to thank Pastor Brinson for going and being our leader and spiritual leader and overall leader of the whole team. And then Jake and Ricky for driving those vans, because driving vans in New York traffic is 100% different than here. It's like your horn is part of your car. Everywhere you go, it's like beep, beep. Everybody's blowing at somebody about something. And they were both kind of very stressed because of having to drive in that every day, back and forth. And then thank you very much, Mike, for taking us there and coming back to get us last night. We had never been so excited to see that yellow school bus in our lives as last night. I mean, it was a great trip, but we were tired. We was ready to go home, come see our family and see our bed last night. And then just want to thank every single person that went on this mission trip, because like I say, every single person carried their own load. Every single person helped and did their part.
Hey, so this week was a huge blessing because I felt like all summer I was being served, like, for camps and stuff. And, like, this trip I got to serve other people. And it was, like, I tend to think, oh, I got it bad because, like, this happens in my life. And, like, I pity myself a lot. But, like, seeing how they live in New York and, like, hearing about backstories, because every time I would meet a new person, I would be like, so tell me about yourself, tell me about your family, tell me about your backstory. And they would, like, tell me really sad and awful, awful stories. And it was like, I feel awful because I live in Georgia. I'm very blessed. And, like, going to New York is like going to a second, what is it?
Different world.
Yeah, a whole different world. It's like crazy. And I just hope y'all would pray with me for those people because, like, they do not have it easy at all. And, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to thank those that are helped us out financially. Of course, my family wouldn't have been able to go, all of us, anyways. But we knew that the Lord wanted us to go. I wanted to share scripture really quick with you. This was our, I think it was our third day of devotions because we did have devotions on our own, separate from the church or whatever. It's Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with the boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. I wanted to share that scripture with you because first day that we went sightseeing, when we went to 9/11, that was like very sobering for me because you just don't know. You know you're going to die. Everybody knows it, but you just don't know when. And so many lives were killed that day, and they didn't expect it. So horror and tragedy was upon them. And they also did work together. But what really moved me to compassion was that, you know, most of the time I don't think about witnessing to people because that's just not for me. It's very hard for me to be clear and communicative, especially in the Word, which really I should be more and more in the Word. But more in my lifestyle of living, to magnify the Lord. That's the thing. Magnify Christ, who gave everything for us. And also with that, we went out blitzing. That's new for me, okay? Blitzing, crazy thing. And, of course, lack of sleep and the hard work and so on and so forth, you name it. Going out one more time to these concrete jungles, as he would say, in a black van was like, for me, it was like, okay, these people are going to pull their guns out any minute now. Because here comes a black van, pulls up in front of a park, and then we disperse. Okay, these people go this way, these people go that way. So here comes a black van, and these people are looking like, we've never seen this van before. And now people are coming out, and then they're coming to us. Okay.
But we do have animal balloons.
We do have, yeah, we did have some, we didn't have animal balloons. But anyways, so bug-eyed eyes, people, and now we got to approach them, okay? We got to give them the good news. And they're like, okay, these people are coming, I'm walking away kind of thing. And we're like, hey. But anyways, the Lord did give many opportunities. And one in specific, Miss Edie Bachman, she had messaged me and said, we're praying for you, Becky. That really kind of lifted me because I was like, oh, one more time, here we go. But that day, we saw so many kids, and I believe it's an answer to y'all's prayer, but that was an encouragement for me. Amen. That you had texted me, and I was like, okay, she's praying, so God is going to answer. And we were able to minister to so many kids. But what really grabbed and gripped me is that you don't have to bring them to church to minister to them. You could be right there and Amen. Just give them the gospel. Yeah. And it's up to them whether they receive it or not. And I'm not used to just saying, okay, this is just the way it is, but I'm learning, so y'all pray for me.
Amen. Thank you, Becky.
This is my first missions trip, and it was really fun. It really encouraged me to follow God, even if it leads me to another state or another country in the future. One of the things I'm thankful for is having a safe trip to New York and back to Georgia. And I'm so blessed to have a new friend named Rita.
I jotted a few things down this afternoon because there's so much we could tell you. I didn't take a nap today. I should have. So on April 14th, on a Sunday morning here, God told me I needed to be on this trip.
Yes.
Sorry. sign up sheet was gone, and I wasn't sure if they had even been meeting, so I kind of came into the trip late, and I knew our finances were tight, and so it was really a struggle for me because I'm really a black and white person, so whoever gave that money, I want you to know that we appreciate it.
Amen.
Maybe I should sit down and pull it together. When we got to Liberty, they had sort of pre-given us jobs. So my job was with the boosters. So that would be the juniors and the primaries. And so they had placed me in the juniors. And the two people that I was helping serve was Catherine, who was a new convert. She was saved in February. She had four kids. And just very new in the faith. And so she was the teacher there. She's just a precious, precious person. She had four kids, a boy and three girls, expecting her fifth one. And so after coming to the Lord and with Dave and Elizabeth's training, they were not married. So in February, they got married, and they have their fifth baby coming in December. Well, I just fell in love with her instantly, and I think she was real intimidated teaching with this huge group coming in who was kind of established, but she did just a remarkable job. And her assistant was Jason, who was an Uber driver, who we got to know on Saturday, which was kind of our fun day before the week started. And he was very energetic. He walked the 13 miles with us, and if I had known that we were going to walk that much, I would have fought God a little harder. So just so y'all know, I thought I was going to be in one of those ambulances. I probably saw six ambulances a day, and I thought I was going to leave that day in one. So, but it was a lot of walking and 90 something degree heat, and this girl's not used to that. So. The first night was her first time teaching. David sat in there with us, and she taught the story, got through the end, and she got to the salvation message, and she just really felt like she didn't want to be the one to deliver that. So she asked David to get up and give the salvation message, and he did. And each night he would meet with her and kind of like critique her teaching. And so the second night she got to that point, and she looked at me and she asked me to get up and give it. So I was glad to do that. And but the third night she was doing it. She was walking. And it was just so sweet to see. So that with the boosters, you know, we had Thomas and Michael, the same ones that were here, and it was just a whole different flavor. I'm so thankful for our churchyard and our playground, because in the inner city they have that building and that's it. So the whole culture was different. There were kids running in the church anytime there was any downtime, and I don't mean just like moving fast, I mean flat out running. So, and we would stay until everybody left, and I have a new appreciation for Wanda and Shaughnessy does, because we would stay and kind of reset the church every night. And we couldn't clean until it was empty. And so it was nice to see the fellowship and all, but we were like, our tongues were hanging out at the end of the night. And as we reset everything, I know one day, I think me and Norma counted, we vacuumed that sanctuary four times. It just, I mean, like before, like almost like before, during, after, and after, after. So it was crazy. But it was just a really sweet week. Thomas did a phenomenal job with those boosters. He has such a gift. And I mean, just captivated them. You know, in the junior department, we started out with four kids, and at the end of the week, we had eight or nine. So every night we grew. So God was sending the kids. And it was just really sweet to see. So on Tuesday, we like Becky said, we had a God and I time, and Pastor had kind of set some devotions for us to kind of be on the same page. So we would read alone and answer questions and then come together with our prayer partners and then pray together. So 1 Peter 3, and I believe it was on Tuesday, the thing was unity is only possible with biblical communication. And I feel like we were really tested in this area, because midweek with lack of sleep and heat and just all the inconveniences that we're not used to here, we were starting to have some misunderstandings and just different things. And it was just really sweet to see people forgive and humble and just Amen. Get where we work together as a team. A Monday night during rally time, we would have hands go up every time for, he would say, are you saved? And the hands would go up, and then he would say, ask more questions to discern whether they were God's children, and then hands would go up. So it was a lot of, I think there were kids who really didn't understand. And, but during this time, three hands went up, and we didn't have just an abundance of counselors like we do here. Like you just turn right and left and there's somebody there. And so, we had three hands go up, and I went out with Rita. And I think Pastor mentioned her. She's in the picture. Just the sweetest child. But she's a new, they've been at the church for a short while. Her mom's, they're from Liberia, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, you're right.
And her mom had just gotten a job at the United Nations. So their family were coming. They came that Sunday in their full native, like, garb. So just really sweet people. But that night, Rita trusted the Lord as her Savior.
Amen.
So it was really sweet. Let's see.
By the way, that family told me leaving out on Friday night that they would be coming to this church. And that's that family.
It's really sweet. Liberty View, being a new church plant, is just doing a great work in New York City with many obstacles and really true needs. Like on Thursday night, they were out of toilet paper. I can't think of a time ever here where we had to worry about that kind of thing. And Andrea was able to, we had some extra in our budget and was able to buy a bundle for them. And just, it was many needs met. And I heard Dave and Elizabeth talking different times, like they had, were at the end of their budget. They were stretched. And I know their van needs a lot of work. Jake worked with them trying to see what was going on with their van. But they have many needs, not just physical needs, but spiritual needs. And they could really use our prayers. I'm just so thankful that our church supports them, and because I got to see firsthand the needs in Staten Island.
We are celebrating the love of God. We are just testifying of His love and His power. And I just want you to know, this is okay for us to be a little lengthy in our service tonight. I understand if you need to excuse yourself for the restroom or if you had somewhere you need to be. Don't feel bad about that. You just quietly step out. But I do believe God needs to be glorified through this trip. Amen. And so we just want to let the Holy Spirit lead. And so we'll have our next testimony, Brother Christian.
Well, first of all, I want to reiterate to say that church plant up there is really a great work. And I just there was such a freshness about it. All these new believers and some people who have come back to the faith after being away for a long time. And they were just pulling together. And it's small and it's a slow work because there's not a bunch of people that want to flock to the church. But I believe it's really a worthwhile investment.
Amen.
But I wanna just praise the Lord for the miracles that He performed while we were up there.
Yeah.
And for me, the first one is for us to be able to go with the finances. And I also want to thank whoever gave the $5,000. But then also those who, there were some people that gave. Marked it for our family, and I didn't expect the Lord to really provide that, but I should have, and but he has been good. And then also, pastor actually called me before the trip, and he asked me, "So do you think you're going to be able to go?" And I said, "Well, I'm not sure. I'm indecisive." But so he said, "Why don't you just ask your kids if they want to go?" And I asked every one of them, and they all said, "Yeah, I want to go." And that was, I was not expecting that either. And but God worked there as well. Then I was able to take off another week from work, even though I just recently took off 2 weeks because my mom was here to visit. Then, we were just all in a real sleep deficit while we were up there. And it started on that Saturday. I started on Friday, the day of the trip. But then right the next day, get up early, get your stuff, and go to Manhattan. And follow David Wilt, you know. And it was funny because there was some problems with the subway, and his plan didn't quite work out. So where we wanted to go to start at the bottom and work our way up that peninsula, the subway took us to the top, so we had to come back down. So during that day, I think we went up and down and up and down and up, and then back down. But we walked a lot, as somebody's already mentioned. And we got back after midnight. The last stop was Times Square. If you ever been there on a Friday night, it's insane. But the Lord just gave the grace to go on. And from the second day, I was just running on pure fumes. Spiritual fumes. And so I really didn't have time to prepare for the lessons, and I was supposed to do the first two lessons and missionary story, because the person that was the lady that was teaching from the church wasn't able to be there the first two nights. So I had to do that, and I had to do the missionary story, and I couldn't quite get ready for that, but God gave grace and allowed us to do that. And then the other thing was, I was supposed to teach first through third grade, which I did that when NBT was here, and that was great. But it turns out we had about 10 kids, more or less, and half of them were preschoolers. Now that's a whole different story. And they were not real bad, not running around disruptive, but they would just get up and walk around, and I gotta go to the bathroom. It's like the bathroom was right there, right in the room. And so they were just going through. I gotta go to the bathroom. Okay, go to the bathroom. I gotta go to the bathroom. And then once they were all through going to the bathroom, the first one started, "Can I go to the bathroom?" And exaggerating just a tiny little bit here, but So then we had so many opportunities to witness to the lost people, and I have to say, Mr. Thomas, he was such an example to me. He's 22 years old, but he is just a real blessing. When we went out blitzing, I could see him. You know, we're used to just handing out tracts, but he would take every opportunity to start talking to especially the kids, and he started doing his rope tricks and balloon animals and all that, and he just had a way to get the kids around him and have them listen to him. And so I just followed his lead and looked for opportunities to share the gospel as well. And there was many opportunities. Becky and I, we witnessed to a same-sex married couple from Venezuela. And we had opportunity to witness to a Jewish lady that was like, she worked around the World Trade Center on 9/11, but she said that she wasn't feeling well that day, and she didn't go to work that day. And so you know, we had opportunity to witness to the kids, and then that one day when we were surrounded by so many kids in the park, that was a blessing. And then there was an elderly lady at the church who was just there to, I guess because she could sense the love that that the people there had for her, because she didn't seem to be interested in the gospel, but she was going through a lot of stuff. But we were able to talk to her and to share a little bit with her. But then at the last night, Pastor was able to lead her to the Lord, praise God. And then out of our primaries, there was one boy. There was a sister, brother and sister twins. And the girl trusted Christ, I think it was the second night. And then I watched on the third night, her brother Oliver, he wanted to raise his hand. He looked around a little bit, but he did raise his hand. And then I took him back and asked him, "Why did you raise your hand?" He said, I want to get saved. Hey. And so I was able to talk to him, and he seemed to really understand, and he just wanted to get saved. And hey. He did. He prayed for the Lord to save him. And then the greatest blessing was for me, the next night, during the invitation, Brother Thomas asked, if you say, "Oh, I'm sure that I'm going to heaven. I'm so sure I've been saved and I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand?" And his hand shot right up. That was just a blessing to see that. And then we had opportunities to encourage those believers there at the church. And for me, Jason is the one that stood out. He was on one of the group pictures on the far left. He was wearing the hat. But he's actually from Texas, and he's a friendly guy, open and talkative. He's saved, and we have a lot in common. And I was able to encourage him and just sit down with him and to talk to him and to tell him about my experiences. And pretty soon, both of us had glassy eyes, and you could sense that he was being lifted up. And it's not because I'm so great, but it's because the Lord, the Holy Spirit was working. Yeah. And so just the thing, I experienced revival up there. And I want the Lord to keep me in revival.
Amen.
And so that's what I would ask you to pray for me, is that I would not get bogged down with the daily grind, where I'm so focused on what I got to do, my agenda, that I forget about looking around to see the people. Now, when on the missions trip, you're there to do that, and so you're looking around. That's what you're doing, but then when you come back to your everyday life, your focus goes back to some other things where it really shouldn't. And then Jason, he encouraged me also. He really said, "You need to write your own tract," because in that last story I want to tell is that on the last day, Michael was going to be baptized with honey and I don't know whatnot, you know how they usually do. And he was standing in the bay, so he's not to make a big mess and then be able to wash off right away. So there was some rocks, and down in the water was Michael and a bunch of teens standing around, and on top near the road was all the adults looking down, and there was three young men sitting on a bench and some other people, but they were watching this. They were just scratching their heads. What is going on here? So I was trying to ease my way over there, and I said to the first one, I said, "Are you wondering what's going on here?" And he said, "Yeah." And so I told him what was going on. And so I was able to ask him if he knew that he was saved or that he was going to heaven when he dies. And he said, "No, and I'm not very religious," and so on. And I only believe if it's scientifically proven. So I asked him, "Well, are you saying that only that which is scientifically proven is true?" And he said, "No, but I just need more evidence." And so I told him, "Well, can I give you a challenge? said, yeah. And so I said, why don't you take a Bible and for 21 days, 3 weeks, you pray to the Lord. If this is your word, if you're real and this is your word, show me from the word, from the Bible. And every day read one chapter in the book of John. And he really said, yeah, I'm going to do that. He was really willing and open. He even started to get his phone out and looking for an app for the Bible. And his name was Anthony. So pray for him and continue to pray for Liberty View Baptist Church. They've been encouraged, and they also need our prayers.
Amen.
All right. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Christian.
First of all, thanks for whoever gave. When Pastor first announced in December that this was going to be the trip, Becca and I both got home, and she said, Mom, I want to go on that trip. And I said, I'd like to go on it too, baby. And then when he said sign-up sheet day, I was like, okay, Lord, you know I'm saving for a car. There's no extra money for this. I can't do this. And it's like he tapped me on the shoulder and said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I got this. And he did. I mean, it's like he opened the doors of heaven and just poured it all out. And we were able to do the trip. I have my car. I know why he brought every one of us on this trip. There was a reason for every one of us that was on this trip that came. Every one of us had a purpose. Y'all all know I do snacks for VBS every year. Been doing it for years. I thought I was going to help their snack person. And I get there, and Brother Dave looks at me and says, no, you're in charge. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, leave me where they are, and I'll take care of it. And when the snack lady came in, it was like best friends. She was just, y'all just don't know. It's just the sweetest, sweetest, sweetest lady in the entire world. Has had a hard life and a lot of hard things, but she's not letting that get her down. She was such an encouragement to me, and I hope I was an encouragement to her. And there were a couple nights she wasn't able to be there, which I missed her very much those nights. But she told me, she says, I'm hooked. I want to be the snack lady for Liberty View Baptist Church now, and
amen.
This is what I want to do. And she said, we've got to eat. And seeing these teenagers work together was absolutely amazing to me. And seeing how everybody else worked together on communicating. That was the turnaround, the communicating, and Christian's devotion on seeing the miracles in everything. I have seen so many miracles in the last 6 months, it's not even funny. I mean, I could stand here all night long and list off all the miracles. Every single day we should be seeing a miracle. Right, Christian? Every single day. And I can honestly say I have seen miracle after miracle after miracle. It was a miracle we got up Sunday morning and got what we accomplished. I still don't know how we did it. We were all zombied. But I wanted to give God all the glory and praise for everything he did this last week. One of the biggest miracles I saw, being at the church with the boosters a whole week and doing the cleanup and the snack time and everything, was Hezekiah's salvation. I mean, they're not exaggerating with this kid. I mean, he was full on Zoom the whole time. The night he got saved, when he came up from that basement, that was a different kid. I asked Pastor about snack time the night before Hezekiah got saved. Chaos, literal chaos. I'm not used to that because with our 150, 200 kids, We don't have that. They, you know, kind of get their stuff and go on. But these kids are like, whew, back and forth, running. And we were trying to keep it contained in the front of the church. And it wasn't working. And Pastor Dave and Brother Benson are like, you wasn't kidding. This is chaos. The next night, I warned Jake, because he was staying. I said, be ready. It's coming. And it didn't happen. Susan and I looked like this. Like, what happened? And it was Hezekiah's salvation. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. They were feeding off his energy, and it was just like the Holy Spirit just went,
amen.
And that was just, to me, that was the biggest miracle,
amen,
of the whole week.
Praise the
and
Lord.
Thanks for all your prayers and for all the team members. I love you all.
Okay, so who doesn't know me, I'm Natalie Dyer. And a couple of disclaimers. I'm not really good at public speaking, so I might shake a little and I might cry a little. So, anyways, last week was probably the most I got out of this entire summer, but not just because we got to see the wonders of New York and all that junk, but it was the effect that we had on Liberty View. So there was this girl in the teen department named Angelina, who I got to immediately socialize with on the next, like, probably like the second day that we got to do neighborhood Bible time. Because on the first day, there was this group of girls, I think she was part of it, but they're not really paying attention to the service, kind of laughing and being real fidgety. But on the second day, we got to connect with them, and I think it must have, it, like, to me, it struck like the sense of unity between the churches, and they were just like, you know, not speaking to us on the first day. And it makes me feel really amazing that someone as me that is so drawn to this world can make someone feel joy.
I'm going to try to keep this as brief as I can. I feel Laparia calling my name right now. So. I had some withdrawals. But there's so much to tell. And there, like the other said, there is absolutely no way possible to cover everything we experienced, we saw, we did, and seen the Lord work throughout this week. But first and foremost, like the others have said, I wanted to thank the anonymous donor and the other donors that gave for us to go on this trip. It made all the difference in the world. Want to thank y'all for y'all's prayers this past week, because I'm pretty sure that's probably what kept me and Mr. Ricky from getting shot while we were up there. Y'all have seen some of the looks we got, these two white guys riding around these black vans pulling up some of these places, you know. And if Ricky doesn't tell the story tonight, he has a great story about that to make sure you have him tell you, because I laugh about it every time I think about it. Like I said, the Lord really worked this week, and I can't tell y'all. I expressed our teens and our young adults, preteens and boosters that we had up there this week. They really, you guys really, really showed out up there this week. I can't tell y'all, like I said, express enough how proud I am of the work ethic and the commitment that you guys had up there this week and reaching out to the other youth there this week, because you can tell by the end of the week, you know, we've really made some new friendships with those people, and they really, you know, opened up to us. We went out to Manhattan and went on the sightseeing tours and to see all the sights. We went to, you know, I was trying to think about that before we got there. Let me back up just a second. From the start of this trip, I'm sorry, but this come to mind, but from the start of this trip, when we were leaving out of Atlanta, the flight attendant that we had on the flight from Atlanta to New York was a Christian woman, member of a Baptist church in Louisiana. And when all 27 of us were getting on that plane with all the same shirt on, you know, she was asking questions about, you know, what we were doing, going to do, and we explained it to her. And you could really tell it was an encouragement to her and really warmed her heart, which warmed our heart to see it have that effect on somebody, us, you know, going and doing that. But she acknowledged us over the loudspeaker on the plane when we left and got into Atlanta and this kind of stuff, you know, so it was kind of neat. But once we got to Manhattan, we've seen the sights and the tours, and we went to Ground Zero. And, we've all seen the video footage and seen the pictures of from the attacks on 9/11, and even being there and seeing and still just trying to process in your mind what all went on in that spot that day. I just stood there, was looking up, looking at the Freedom Tower that, is being recently finished, and just trying to fathom it and seeing them two big holes in the ground where the towers once stood. It's a very, very sombering thing. I still, even after going through the museum and seeing the stuff that was there, I couldn't fully comprehend just the magnitude of all the events of that day, and all the lives that were lost. But, it was one thing that really, made a difference in my life while we were up there. But, as we were talking to David Wilton, correct me on this if I was wrong, but I believe he told us there's only four that he knows of, four independent Baptist churches in New York City, in Manhattan. So I guess that wouldn't be including Memorial, since it's on Staten Island. He wasn't counting that one, was he? I told the gentleman that's over neighborhood about David Coons was there, and I was talking to him when we went out to eat lunch Wednesday, and he said, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to explain, this to my wife, what it's like up here and what it's like. And I said, well, I can tell you right now. I said, tell her to go out in the front yard and find the biggest ant mound she can find and stick a stick in it and stir it up. And I said, he laughed. He said, yeah, you're exactly right. He said, that's just what it's like. I said, there's just people everywhere. When we were first going on this trip and I seen the number of people we had going, I'm like, do we really need 27 people on a mission trip in New York City to help with a vacation Bible school? I said, for a church that's their total size, you could take a quarter of the pews we have in here and fill up there. I said, do we need 27 people? The answer to that question is yes. Every one of them. Every single one of them. Because, there was just that much stuff that needed to be done. And, if the church had not been able to rent those vans up there that this past week, there would have been no way to do the work we were able to do that week. Going, getting the kids and just everything that was done. I mean, that was an integral part in us being able to do that work last week. Because, like I say, it we had 27 of us, and it took every one of us. I mean, all the way down to Carly. It took every one of us. But I wanted to ask that you guys would be in prayer for Liberty View Baptist Church on their van situation. I had to get out there and get looking at it. The van cranks and runs. It's a 2000 model Ford Eco Line, or whatever you say it, but got 140,000 miles on it. It cranks and runs and sounds fine for the most part, except the air conditioner doesn't work, which that was everywhere we went this week. It didn't matter if it was a vehicle or a building. Y'all pray for them people up there because they don't believe in good air conditioning. but the air conditioning didn't work. The transmission is beginning to skip once the van gets up over 30 miles an hour. And then the rust factor in it. I don't know. I'm assuming probably anywhere from about 10 to 15 years is the average lifespan you can expect to get on a vehicle up there because of the rust factor. And then it starts, we think, well, it's just rusting the body. No, it's rusting the frame, it's rusting brake lines and components and things that don't need to get rusted. So and that is a vital element, I believe, of their ministry, because of the parking situation up there, because of the number of people that don't drive, and Brother David hosting fellowship and vents and things at his home. There's no parking really there at his home, so a lot of, if he can bring 15 people in one vehicle, it's a lot easier to park than 15 people in 15 vehicles there at his home. So there is a dire need right there for them in that. But let's see. So I wrote several things down, but like I said, I don't want to make this any longer than I have to. But y'all heard him mention earlier the young man named Anas. He doesn't speak any English. Speaks three different other languages very well, but doesn't speak any English. But he didn't let that hold him up. He fell right in with our teams, playing in the games, and you know, he was having a really good time. The pastor thankfully spoke French, and so did he. You know, that Lord worked that out tremendously. But he's from a Muslim family, so it was a shocker in itself that they even allowed him to come and attend neighborhood Bible time last week. But very, very, he had a very sweet spirit. But just pray the Lord work in his heart, work in his family's heart. Like I say, it was definitely, I felt a definite closer bond with our people, here from the church from this week, from being up there and us working together, working through differences and seeing the Lord work. You know, it really changed my perspective and perception on things. So, but thank y'all once again for your prayers and your support this past week.
Okay. This week was really fun and amazing. But the beginning of the week, when you put like 27 people in a small space with like barely any air conditioning except for one room, you start to get on each other's nerves a little bit. Just a little bit. And so at the beginning of the week, we were, like, having a little bit of problems and stuff. And then we went to our God and I time. And, like, the page literally was like, you guys need unity in order to work together and stuff. I was like, And so we did the God and I time. And it was like everyone took a step back and looked at what they were doing wrong. And we just had, like, a time where they said sorry. And after that, like, the week really, like, went a lot more smoother and stuff. And it was a real blessing for, like, us and, like, the teens to go up there, because if we weren't up there, their youth group is very, very small. And if we weren't up there, the games would have been, like, 3-on-3, 2-on-2 or something like that. And so that's not that fun. So I was very grateful to be there and help them out. And it was just a very fun week. And thank you to people that gave money to let us go.
So this week I was able to go on the mission trip, and the boy, the Anas that Pastor mentioned, and my dad, I kind of felt bad for him because he couldn't understand English, and I asked Pastor if he could tell me how to tell him my name in French, and when I told him my name in his language, his face just lit up. Over me just telling him my name. And I was just amazed at that, and really pray for the kids in New York, because there's a huge need. A lot of them don't know anything about the Lord, with the hundreds of, at least 100 kids that we met, saw on, in the park. It was amazing how many of them there were and how much we were able to get the Word of God out. Amen. And pray for those kids, and that many of them will come to know the Lord. And that's all.
Amen. Thank you, Tyler.
Hi, guys. So, first of all, I just want to thank whoever donated the $5,000 to the mission team, because that was a huge blessing for my family, and I'm sure all the other families as well. But what I really want to talk about is, it was a girl that Natalie mentioned a little bit ago, and her name was Angelina. So Angelina's a really sweet girl, and she's actually, like, really social. But I was, like, I think it was the second conversation I've ever had with her. And I remember she was sitting there by herself, like, on the bleachers, just by herself, listening to music. I remember thinking, like, oh, I'll just go talk to her. You know, so I tried to, like, stir up that good Baptist energy and just kind of trotted on over there and said, like, hi, how are you, Angelina? Like, what are you doing, kind of thing. I remember she had her earbuds in, and she just looked at her phone and just went, and just went straight back to texting or whatever she was doing. So I kind of was like, all right, so I'm going to have to try a little bit harder than that next time. But, hey, you want to come join us? We're going to go play a game. And she answered the next time, but that's kind of just like the idea of like the first encounter I had with her. But she didn't really like to participate in like the games and whatnot, and I kind of had to like force her to like come off the like bench or whatever she was doing to try to force her to play the games. And eventually we eventually became like friends. She didn't just glare at me every time I tried to get her to do something. So I think she liked me by the end of the week. But it was really awesome to see her attitude change by the end of the week. So she was one of the teens that every night Mr. Michael would ask, if you didn't know that you were 100% saved, then like raise your hand. And every night she was the person that would raise her hand. And she would do this. She did it like every night until Thursday night. When she raised her hand, she actually went and talked to somebody. She talked to the youth pastor's wife. And I don't know if she ever got officially. I don't know for sure, but
she's very serious about asking that.
Mm-hmm. I have a strong feeling she did, just because her attitude changed extremely after that conversation. And the next day, like, she just seemed more happy and even more social than she already was. So it was just really cool and really awesome just to see that change. And it was just really encouraging and just really opened my eyes that that was the reason that I was there in New York. Amen. And so, yeah. And all the credit goes to God, though. So, yeah.
Amen.
Okay, so first of all, I'd like to thank the people who gave money, because without that, I wouldn't have been able to go on this trip. Anyways, so at the beginning of the trip, there was like a bunch of miscommunications between the parents and the teenagers, and it was like really, I don't know, dramatic or whatever. And so it was pretty rough like at the beginning of the week. Also, it was kind of rough having to like wake up in like negative 30 degrees, because like the parents sleeping over here were like always hot, so like they turned the air conditioning on high. And I was like freezing every morning, because like even with like two blankets, a hoodie, and sweatpants on, it was like really cold. And then we had to like go out and it was like 90 degrees. So it was, yeah, it was rough with that or whatever. Anyways, then through all of like the drama and like the rough conditions or whatever, which it wasn't really that rough, but still, through all of that, I still in the end didn't want to leave because of all the relationships that I had made with people. And I didn't ever realize that like going on a trip with like a church group could be so much fun, but honestly it was like the most fun I've had in a long time. So yeah, that's it.
Alright, so I got a bunch of stuff I can talk about, but I didn't write any of it down, so I'm going to be jumping around a lot and probably going to forget a lot, so just bear with me please. Also, while I'm jumping around, Nehemiah, have you been drinking your water, man? All right, but starting with what God did in their church, especially in the teens, because that's what I was doing, I really believe that the Lord used our teens who went, just our energy, to help inspire them and to get them involved. Because at the beginning of the week, none of their teams really participated in anything, hardly. They were just kind of like standing by and watching the games for the most part. Not talking to us, not trying or anything. But by the end of the week, we were all joking around with each other. They were actually playing the games and having a good time. Everyone was listening during the message. Like, God actually worked in their hearts.
Amen.
The Lord's also been working in me. Prior to this trip, I've been struggling with some different stuff. And so when I was thinking about the mission trip, I was like, you know, I don't really feel like worthy to go on a mission trip, really. And then I saw that my name was on one of the group devotion nights that I was going to be giving the devotion. I was like, I really don't feel like I should be doing that just because of all this stuff I've been struggling with. I'm in a Bible study with some different people, and we've been going through the epistles. And so right now we're on 2 Timothy, and one verse has been speaking to me. It's chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And how it made me realize that it's not by my works that I'm worthy to be used by God. It's by his grace that he uses anyone. So that's been working in me. So I've got a lot of stuff I would like y'all to pray for me about, just that I'll live each day surrendered to the Lord, that he'll give me a burden for souls, and also the courage to witness, because that's one thing I it terrifies me to just go up and talk to a stranger. I don't know why. This is something I hate doing. And so I know the Great Commission. I know I'm supposed to witness, but it always just, like, scares me, honestly. I don't want to do it. And I had to do it on this mission trip, and it's, I know it's good for me. Just pray that God will help me to keep doing that, and that he'll use me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cody.
Just a little perspective. The air conditioner in the bus on the way back was the best air conditioner that we had had all week.
Yeah.
It was hot. But anyway, that's just, we dealt with that. But it was just, I think for me, since Brad turned into a teenager, teenage girls were my enemy. Like, I put this wall, and I was terrified of them. Like, you were but God broke that wall this week, and it was good. Sorry, Valerie and Ellie, so I fell in love with you girls this week. Y'all are just precious, and the other girls, too. I had built this wall against them and thought, y'all are the most awful people. You just are terrible, you girls. But they really, when you get down to it, they really are sweet girls, and they serve the Lord just with such a good spirit, sweet spirit. And that was among all the teens, really, this week. But another thing that really stuck out to me this week was Gabby and Noah. They worked so hard. With the boosters, they earn points throughout the week for being there. You get points for bringing your Bible. You get points. But you get extra points for learning extra verses. And Gabby and Noah, and the teens did too, they were constantly, can I say a verse to you? Can I say a verse to you? Can I say a verse to you? Gabby learned 25 verses like that this week in order. But another thing that they did was that with them learning all the verses, they got extra points. So they took first prize in their grades. Well, when you get first prize, first place, whatever, they give you a Bible. Neighborhood Bible Time gives you a Bible. And Gabby and Noah didn't keep that Bible for themselves. They gave it to two of the kids that were there that probably didn't have a Bible. And that was a huge blessing to me because they sacrificed their prize to give to someone else that didn't have it. And I think the same thing happened with the teens, that they didn't. None of our teens got the reward that they should have gotten. But they did. Because a lot of the teens were, they learned like over 105, I think it was 105 verses on their cards. And they learned them all this week, memorized. And so it was a huge encouragement.
I was trying to get my buddy to come up here. The time that we went into town, it was pretty neat in Manhattan. We did get to see a lot of sights. It was a very stressful situation for us adults as we were making sure everybody stayed together. I followed the crowd the entire night, and I mean, I was my neck hurt from going. So, but it was. I think everybody has pretty much summed it up. The first of the week, we were there, but God brought us together.
Amen.
And when God brought us together, we were a different group.
Yes.
And when we became a different group, we saw God work.
We did.
And the teens that we were, they had, what was it, maybe five or six teens that came on a regular basis every night from Liberty View. And they were. They wouldn't talk. They wouldn't let us in. They had their walls built up. So many family situations in their lives, so much cultural things in their lives that they just don't allow people in. But by the end of the week, I mean, they were high-fiving the pastor. They were talking to us. They were enjoying their time together. And I think that Angelina did get saved.
Amen.
I'm pretty sure she did get saved. And Jake's already brought it up, so I'll tell the story in a minute about the vans. But it was, you know, some of the places that we went into were not places like we see around here. We talk about our bus ministry that we've had here at the church. We've seen nothing like what we saw up there, some of the places we went into just to pick kids up, some of the family situations that were going on. One of the young ladies who came every night, she had two moms. And one of the moms was into a cultish religion, and the other mom was just, you know, way out there. We had a young man, Zamil, who came a couple of nights, was very, had lots of questions, Muslim family. He ended up one night, miscommunication with his mom, and she came and got him, and it was not a pretty sight. But just pray for him. His name is Zamil, and he needs our prayers. He had lots of questions. He even told me, he said, I'm not really into the church thing. He said, when I go to mosque, I guess is what they call it in the Muslim. Yep. When he would go to mosque, he said, it's just not fun like it is here. He said, there's something different when I hang out with this group. So he can see it. So let's just pray that Zamil would have that opportunity to hear the word of Christ and be saved. The friend that brought him was, her name was Natalia. They called her Tally. And she was quite different. But much more toward the end of the week. She was one of them who had the walls up, wouldn't listen. She was one of the young ladies that my wife tried to talk to, and she just laughed in her face. But she, I went to pick her up, pretty rough neighborhood over there. Here we are in this big black van with tinted windows. You can't see in at all. And as we're driving away from her door, she realizes she left her phone in there. And it's actually her mom's phone. She needs it to get in touch with her to tell her, you know, where she is and everything. So I said, do you need to go get it? She said, yeah, just stop right here and I'll jump out. We had moved maybe two doors down from her house. Well, as I stopped in the middle of the road, another car was turning in. And as that car turned in, I mean, the guy just rode by and just stared a hole in me, you know. And, you know, when people stare at you, you look back. And I'm just looking at him as he's riding by. And all of a sudden, I hear from the back seat, yo, what you been looking at? And I'm thinking, I'm fixing to be shot. And she gets out of the car, and I mean, she's just wailing on this guy. My neighbor, he's just nosy. That's all she would say. I'm like, just get in the van, Tally. Let's, just gotta go. Gotta go. I gotta bring you back after dark. Just, let's go. But the relationships that those kids have with one another, you know, one guy, Zach, lived not, I mean, he wasn't even an eighth of a mile from her. They don't go to school together. Two different school districts. These kids in this youth group, they have no other time that they actually see each other except for when they get together at Liberty View. The school districts up there are split in such crazy ways. Like I say, that close, and they go to two different schools. Most of the teens that I ask, I said, what are you planning on doing with your life when you get done? I don't know. I have no clue. Now, I know most of our teens go, I don't know either. But they've got, it's a whole different situation. And so if y'all would, just pray for them. One little boy, Jerry. I mean, Jerry was a bundle of fun. And the kids got behind, he was one of the team captains. And, yeah. He would get up and do any of the competitions, and I mean, it became a Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. And he loved it. He soaked up every moment of it. But you know, they don't, those kids don't get that kind of love.
That's right.
And we were able to share just a little bit with them. And just pray for that whole youth group. Pray for Brother David. Because he really is. I mean, we sat there and talked with him, and he just doesn't know what else to do to reach these kids. And so just pray with him. Pray with Brother Keegan. He's his youth guy. And Brother Keegan is at a real loss. But now, he trained me well as far as driving in New York. He would sit beside me when we would ride. And if the light turned green, he blew the horn. I didn't even have to. He'd reach over and blow it before I could move. I told Jake, I said, we're going to get arrested when we get back to Athens for either driving like we had to drive or when we find out our license had been suspended for the way we were driving up there. I don't know which is which. But, Brother Mark, if you get bills from traffic cams in New York, I don't know what happened. But, but all this, all the funniness aside, everything to be real serious, just pray for that work up there. It's a hard work. It really is. The people are hard. Their culture is completely different. Things that we don't accept as being okay are fine to them. And we just need to just really pray that God just do a work in there, in those, especially in those young people. Man, if He could get those young people involved, that one young lady, Tally, said, I wish our youth group could do a mission trip like this. And I told her, hey, you know what it takes is you got to get together. You got to learn. You got to grow. I said, our church has only been doing this now for 2 or 3 years. So it's something that you can work toward. And then she ended up with some issues and couldn't even come back the last night. So just pray that they can get all that together, brother.
Amen. You know, one of our goals, thank you, Brother Ricky, one of our goals going, and one of our prayers was, number one, that, Lord, we want you to be glorified in New York City. We want you to be glorified in Staten Island. And the second prayer that we prayed is, Lord, help us to be an encouragement to Liberty View Baptist Church. And I want to tell you, to God be the glory. Elizabeth Wilt, David's wife, on the last night there, shed tears before all of us, thanking us of how blessed and encouraged they were this week. That her son got saved, that her husband was encouraged. And I want to remind you, nobody mentioned this, and you may have known this, but David, the pastor of the church, actually had to leave Thursday and Friday because there was a friend that died in a hunting accident. And he went to the funeral. Very close, close family. Tragic. He left. And so we were there. We were it with the assistant. But he was encouraged. The church was encouraged. God was honored. There was a spirit of revival among us. And we are very, very thankful. The one construction picture you saw, Brother Ricky, led that. Brother Jake led that. We formed up a place. He had Brother David loves basketball. It's an out for him. It's a hobby. He's also a ministry. He has the youth over to his house. That's where they have to play ball. He has an opportunity to have others in as a community thing. And he had a basketball court. It was probably, I don't know, it was very, very small. But the other half of it had about a 4 or 5 inch drop off. And people were actually getting injured out there playing on that. And so to be an encouragement to him, we took it on ourselves as a construction project to be a blessing, and we ordered a yard and a half of concrete. The truck came out and all the boys came together and got that concrete in. And I want to tell you, David was literally in tears because we did that for him. And so there were just little things like that. The team just did a phenomenal job. And the Wilts were encouraged. God was honored. And I want to tell you, folks, don't you see the blessings of missions trips? It's worth it all. Amen. And I want to thank you for staying here tonight and hearing these blessed testimonies of how God worked in hearts and how God was glorified. And I'm looking forward to many, many, many more missions trips in the future. And Brother Mark, you prayed for us before we left, and I would ask you to pray again and thank God for what He did in our lives. Why don't you stand with me, please? Brother Mark, before you pray, I do want to say this in closing. Every person played a vital part, but I want to tell you two people that made this trip extremely easy for us, and it was an extreme help to me, was Ricky and Andrea Busey. They did a lot of behind-the-scenes work, ordering plane tickets, getting the schedule out. They communicated with the Wilts, took a huge load off my shoulders during the planning process. And I just want to say publicly, Brother Ricky, Sister Andrea, I love you and thank you so much for the help you were to me. Amen. Amen. Brother Mark, you close us in prayer, brother.